It is time to bring in Dr. Judy Werpman. It is time for Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, Simon Loses His Tummy and her latest book, Before Her Voice Was Still. My voice will become still now. Here is Dr. Werpman.
Good morning to both of you.
You can say,
and there was very, very good advice, Marshall, that my husband and I went out for our first meal yesterday sitting outside, and with social distancing, and the service was slow, but who cares? I didn't have to cook.
Yeah, there you go.
Didn't it just feel good to be out?
It was wonderful. And seeing other people, we didn't talk to them. They were too far away. But it just felt like things were beginning very slowly to come back to normal. And we were so grateful for the people who were working there. They cleaned everything. It was, you know, I think we should be grateful for these small things that we took for granted before the virus, and then they disappeared, and we shouldn't take them for granted now. I think gratefulness is one of the things that we should be thinking about these days.
I have to tell you, our meteorologist, Pat Pagano, went out for the first time, and there was a guy who had a hat on that he had a little concoction. Whenever he went to the fork to get the food, a little string attached to the hat, attached to the mask, lifted the mask up so the guy could eat. Pat said, it looked really strange, but it really was efficient.
That's wonderful. And it was nice taking our masks off and able to talk to each other and hear. So our situational deafness was lifted for a few minutes. Anyway, I think sort of the opposite of gratitude, though, is something I wrote about this week, and that is complaining. And I know it sounds strange, but I really think that it has helped many of us during these months, you know, these weeks and months of dealing with the stress of the virus. And it really came to mind when I had a long conversation with a friend of mine whose wife had a very severe stroke. And around the time, it was actually before the virus started, but his household help began to dry up because people were, you know, afraid to come and be in his home, and he was afraid to have them. And even though we had some help over weekends, in particular, most of the care of his wife, from bathing and toileting her to really and dressing her to really just entertaining her, fell on his shoulders. And he really said he felt overwhelmed, and he didn't really know how to deal with it. He was very, very stressed. And then because he lives in an old home, he said a series of things happened in his home, minor just problems with a dryer breaking and ants in his kitchen and some leaks from some torrential downpours. And he said one thing after another was happening, but it that he had to take care of. And rather than becoming more stressed, interestingly, he became actually less stressed because he said, I could control these problems. I could take charge. It gave me a feeling that life wasn't totally chaotic when I got rid of the ants and I got a new dryer and I managed to figure out what the source of the rain coming in under the door was. And he said, every time I had these little victories taking care of problems in the home, I felt, gee, life wasn't totally out of control. I really was able to handle some things. I didn't feel like I was just at the mercy of whatever's going on. But the other thing that really helped him was complaining. He said, you know, I would call up my friends, and, you know, I had, you know, many neighbors who were very eager to help me, et cetera, but, of course, they couldn't come into the home. But he said, you know, in the afternoon, my wife was taking a nap, I would call them up and say, oh, this is what I went through today. This is what I went through today. And it, just hearing myself talk and hearing somebody at the other end of the phone say, I understand, I know, I've been through it, you'll get through it, it's hard. You know, it just gave me, he said, you know, a feeling that I wasn't alone and that my complaints weren't just sort of going into the ether, but people were listening to me and understanding me. And he said, after I complained enough, then I could talk about other things. And it just made me feel better. And I thought, you've never seen anybody writing about how complaining really might help stress. You know, we're all told to take a walk, to talk to a friend, to listen to music, to read a book. He said, I don't have time to, you know, I can't talk to a friend first face-to-face because of the virus. I don't have time for the other things, but just, you know, a five-minute complaining phone call really, really was extremely helpful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's nothing better in my view than complaining. It acts like a the release thing, the valve on a pressure cooker, because otherwise, you know, to walk around, I know a lot of people who do this who don't complain more. Sorry about them. And it's more stressful. But if you sort of try and just put a bright face on everything, you're in a bind. It's not only is it dishonest, but you're not releasing any of the of the legitimate tension. You know, we've all had situations where we've got a really difficult situation, an ongoing maintenance difficult situation, and then the dryer breaks, and then the check engine light goes on, and then the dog runs away. You know, that is part of life. And really, I have found that the only way to deal with it in my advanced years is to complain. And I mean, and deal with the situation.
Yes, exactly. I mean, and so isn't that funny that, you know, if people say, you sort of the social niceties are that you don't complain. Somebody says, well, how are you? And you don't say, well, let me just tell you how I am, you know.
You don't want to know, say I. But, do you have an hour, say I.
Exactly. But I think it really does help. And I think, you know, so oftentimes when people, you know, when moms get together, like they used to in a playground or something with the kids, they would complain about their kids. They talk, I can't toilet train my kid. I remember when I had really young children, we would get together in a playground and we would complain and then get, you know, help from other people who said, well, I tried this and I tried that and, you know, it won't be so bad and it'll pass. And I really do think it's a communication that makes us tighter as a community.
No question. And the other thing is I think people over the years have gotten used to using their therapists as that sounding board. And it's, in fact, much more of a job for your friends. And you get much more information because here's the way it works. You've heard of pay it forward? If you can complain to somebody, then that means that they're allowed to complain to you. And so if you know, a significant other has done something titanically annoying and you can just say, you know, oh, I'd like to murder, you get it off your chest and you can move on rather than, you know, growing a grudge the size of Africa.
You know, and actually, Jill, you make a very good point because I guess when one does go to a therapist, don't you really complain? I mean, the therapist says, what's your problem? And you say, okay, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And the therapist nods and says, yeah. But you're absolutely right. You can tell your close friend or your neighbor,
you can
or
use
somebody who comes to fix your washing machine, the same thing, and it doesn't cost you any money.
Right. Plus, then you could use your therapy for something more profitable, like, you know, managing a behavior pattern that's inefficient. But no. Anyway, no, I have to say that when I read that, because of the full disclosure, when Judy sent it along, she said, I'd like your opinion of this. And I never got around to doing that. But I was thinking, of course, who wouldn't? And again, as a ranking yenter, that's what I do. So
maybe we should write a book called Complaining Your Way Through Stress.
Absolutely. But it is a stress reducer. You know, sometimes people, back in the day, would come into the station and they would hear this, you know, sort of the volcanic explosion sound emanating from the main studio. And, you know, it was like, yeah, nothing serious. Something isn't going right, and it's easier to smash a mouse and make a loud noise than it is to try and hold that in. Correct?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and it's also true when you're really dealing with some tragedy. You know, Eustace said, oh, she's so stoic, he's so stoic. You know, remember with Jackie Kennedy, when Kennedy, President Kennedy died, and Mrs. Kennedy didn't cry, oh, she's so stoic, she's so brave. Really? You know, it would have been better if she showed the emotion she probably did in private, because the rest of us were crying. And I think that's the other thing, too. You don't have to be stoic. I mean, you're not a Greek statue.
Right. You know? And then just the little cautionary note. Just as there is competitive eating, there is competitive complaining. So there is a place where this can go over the...
Oh, sure.
And so this is more for a just, hey, if you're stressing and things are difficult, you know, think about venting. Basically, it's an old tried and true program.
You know the story. I probably don't have it correct, but where, you know, three or four old ladies are sitting in a park bench as they do every day, and they're and they always talk about the same stories. And because everybody knows each other's problems with their grandchildren and their children, et cetera, they don't even have to complain. They just sort of mention a number. They, oh, yeah, the other persons know that you're talking about your daughter number three who never calls. But because the complaints are, you know, every single day are exactly the same, they don't even have to talk, tell each other what the complaints are. They all know them by heart, but it's just a way of sharing to make the day go better.
I just remember when I went, several times in my life I've been to a therapist, and one time I was sitting in a chair, and my normal therapist wasn't there, so this woman therapist looked at me and said, Marshall, we're not going to continue on with this because your arms are crossed, and you're pushing away everything that I'm going to put towards you. So I looked at her, so I said, no, it's not. It's the chair. It's a small chair. I'm a big guy. So she said, that can't be the case. Come on, we'll switch chairs and we'll see. So we switched chairs and we were talking for about 5 minutes. And about 5 or 6 minutes in, her arms were crossed. So I said, now you're rejecting everything I'm saying because your arms are crossed.
That's brilliant.
That was the end of the therapy session with her.
Wonderful. Oh.
Just
you know, laughter is the other side of complaining. If you complain and then you can start laughing at yourself, that, you know, it's a perfect combination, isn't it?
It is.
Absolutely. Yeah, no kidding, laughter, that thing about laughter and being the best medicine.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you very much.
Till next, have a good week.
Dr. Judy Wertman, Food for Mood.
And, of course, you can hear Judy here on Robin Hood Radio Thursday mornings and also online at robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand. Click on Food for Mood with Judy Wertman.